Welcome to the Odds Breakers, number one place for shared, sharp betting information.
Welcome back to Podcast 10 of 2019. I'm your host, Kiev O'Neill. You can tweet me at the Public Dog, or you can tweet us at the Odds Breakers. We have a fantastic show for you today. Our Valentine's special. Nobody better to bring in than the lovely Kelly Stewart. And she's going to break down some of this huge card that we have for this weekend. And we are also going to talk a little bit about the huge parlay that she almost won. This episode is being brought to you by MyBookie.ag. For a 50% sign-up bonus, please visit MyBookie and use the promo code TheOddsBreakers. Terms and conditions apply. If you'd like to help us out with our costs, we would love to help you out. Please visit TheOddsBreakers.com and become a member. For only $12.99 a month, you can become a monthly member and get our picks before the line moves. And for $2 more, you can become a patron subscriber, support the podcast, and get the podcast a little bit early. If nothing else, please visit TheOddsBreakers.com and become a free picks newsletter subscriber. All right, before we get into this weekend's card, I want to update you with my Big Ten rankings. So since we talked, we moved Purdue up to the top and Michigan State fell down to second. Now look what happens. Michigan State goes to Wisconsin and beats them. They didn't play that well, but they still played well enough to beat Wisconsin that day. And Purdue goes and loses to Maryland. Now, I'm not going to sit there and shuffle these guys back and forth here for first and second place. They're both equally top teams, really good. It doesn't matter, in my opinion, who you have first, but I think these are the two top teams in the Big Ten. Next, I have Michigan. That's a sliver better than fourth, Wisconsin. And then I have Maryland, Iowa, Minnesota, Indiana, Nebraska, Ohio State, Illinois, Penn State, and then Rutgers, and then now bringing up the bottom is poor Northwestern that just got beat at home by Rutgers. The truth is that these bottom teams, Penn State, Rutgers, and Northwestern, they are kind of as good as each other, in my opinion. I think the next step up would be Illinois, Ohio State, Nebraska, and Indiana. And then I think the next step up is kind of bunched up Minnesota with Iowa and Maryland. And then Wisconsin's kind of on its own. They're a weird team. You know, they can beat anybody and then lose to anybody. And then Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue are pretty close. Michigan's a sliver under those two top teams. So that's how I rank the Big Ten right now. And obviously this could change week to week, but it's been a great season so far. All right, I want to get into a little Friday action before we get Kelly on here. I have a MAC game I want to go over real quick. Buffalo versus Toledo. Toledo's going to be getting about a point at home, and the over-under is going to be about 151. So both of these teams have done very well against the spread. Buffalo is 13-9-1, and Toledo is 14-8-1. So far for the season. These two teams have met in Buffalo earlier this year, and Buffalo happened to have their best performance, scoring 110 points to Toledo's 80 points. Now, this blowout has to still be in the minds of the Rockets, right? And now they have the opportunity for some revenge. Now they get to get Buffalo at home. The big question is, is this revenge spot enough to straight up win this game? The spread's going to be pretty tight. Both of these teams are in the top of their divisions in the MAC, And they both are going to have the best odds to win the MAC tournament, or I guess the worst odds, paying odds, but they're going to be the favorites. Buffalo 1 and Toledo 2. Buffalo is a special team. They proved that last year when they beat Arizona in the tournament. They haven't lost a step so far. The Bulls rank first in both offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency in the MAC. And the Rockets rank fifth and fourth in those categories, respectively. You know, Toledo hasn't lost a home game since they played Ball State in early January, okay? And they have only lost one game since on the road. The Rockets have been on a roll lately. Now, Buffalo hasn't done so well lately in on the road. They lost two of their last four road games to inferior teams, Bowling Green and Northern Illinois. I do not love a side in this game because of this, because of the revenge spot and Buffalo, their latest road performance. But Buffalo is a very fast-paced team, okay? And the only reason that many of their games do not go over is because the other team doesn't score enough points. But I think Toledo might have that firepower. Toledo is an average-paced team, but they do average about 77 points per game at home. Buffalo gives up about 75 points per game on the road. Toledo hasn't been tested at home yet because they haven't faced a top 100 offense at home. And I do not think they're going to control the pace here. I think Buffalo still controls the pace, but I also think that Toledo is able to put up some points. I see a shootout brewing here. And that's your Friday night pleasure. I am going to take the over, and it's going to be around 151. I like this overplay all the way up to 155. So mark that, and hopefully it all cashes for everybody. I have a very, well, let's just say a best bet for February 16th, the Saturday here. And we're going to go right to where I specialize, and that's the Big Ten. We have Indiana versus Minnesota. Minnesota is going to be laying about 3 points at home. The over-under is 135. So, okay, have people finally gotten off the hype train for Indiana? Well, that's a big nope. For the reason that they just beat Michigan State on the road, okay? And, you know, that's great for sports bettors because, you know, Michigan State played terribly. And we know that Indiana might not be all that. Now, the Hoosiers, they did great in the non-conference, beating teams like Marquette and Louisville all at home. But on the road, this team's been terrible. Indiana has been 2-9 against the spread since Christmas. I think that this may be a good spot for Minnesota, who has had a tough last four games, four losses, when three of them were away games and all top 40 opponents, okay? So the Gophers just lost to a very desperate Nebraska game team. They covered the spread. It was in Nebraska. They had control of this game for a while. They're going to be looking to bounce back at home. So I love that part of this spot as well. I also love the emergence of freshman center Daniel Oturu, okay, for Minnesota. He averages 11 points, 7.3 boards per game, and it's over 1.5 blocks. I'm not looking at that stat right now, but I know it's over 1.5 blocks per game. The Gophers are 7-7 against the spread at home, but 8-6 in conference games. Looking at old KenPom, the Gophers actually have much better in-conference play numbers than Indiana does. The Gophers rank 6th in efficiency in offense and 13th in defense, but Indiana actually ranks 13th on offense, which is second to last in the Big Ten, and 8th on defense. So it tells me that Minnesota so far is a better conference team than Indiana. Now, if you look at the home and road splits here, I think that's where it's really glaring. The Hoosiers are a terrible team on the road. They actually average 74 points at home and only 67 points on the road, while Minnesota averages 63 points on the road but 79 at home. If you look at the defense, there's also a big disparity there as well. So I think the home and road splits, they're saying that 7.6 points would be the spread. You know, if you kind of blend that in with what KenPom's telling me, this should be a 6-point spread in my opinion, but it's going to come out much lower. I like Minnesota -3. I like a big play on them. I like it all the way up to 5.5.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Please.
All right. And now, without further ado, it's time to get into some more weekend plays with our lovely guest, Kelly Stewart. And now I would like to welcome back a fantastic handicapper and sports bettor who is very well known in the industry. When she isn't winning parlays, you can catch her over at wagertalk.com, on YouTube, and at CBS Sports. I'd like to welcome back Wager Talk's finest host and everyone's Valentine, Ms. Kelly Stewart. You can follow Kelly on Twitter at KellyInVegas, hashtag KIV. How you doing, Kelly?
Doing well. It's kind of a weird morning here in Vegas. It's raining a ton. I went to the gym, tried to get myself motivated, and it's just, you know, no, it's just one of those mornings. I think I still have a hangover from Tuesday night.
Well, with how busy you are, I went to probably feel like you have a hangover pretty much every day, especially during football season. You were just going 7 days a week.
Yeah, football season's is a busy time. I don't get a lot of free time, and so once it's over, you get to take like a big deep breath and kind of just sit back and enjoy a little bit of life.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And it's nice. I think February is going to be the kind of that month for us where we can kind of digress a little bit until we get to March Madness. So take the biggest breather you can and relax. But we all know how March Madness comes and how much action people are looking for. And so always excited for that. That's my probably favorite time of the year, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. March Madness is great, too. So it was a quick deep breath there after Super Bowl, but right back on it. I'm definitely looking forward to April.
Oh God, right? April when baseball starts and we actually get to go on vacation. That's what I was actually looking
forward. You know, I thought I was going to go on vacation, and CBS Sports HQ said, "Do you do baseball?" I said, "No, but I got some really sharp guys over at Westgate that'll probably let me use their power ratings, and I'll figure out how to talk baseball."
Yeah, exactly. You know, baseball very sabermetric driven, very obviously by the starting pitchers, you can see where the lines are. So yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm gonna do a little bit of baseball myself. I like to focus personally on the next college and NFL season. Throw out some futures out there, talk about the horse racing. Obviously I had Marco on a few times, and love the Triple Crown. So that's probably my next focus, but it's just going to be great to relax when April comes. And Kelly, you know, your proxy service has been absolutely fantastic. You were my proxy this year, and thank you for doing such a great job for the Westgate Super Contest. You know, you guys were absolutely on point. You know, because of this, I'm going to get into the college football contest next year as well, I believe, and have two of them rolling.
I think, you know, I love the guys of the Westgate and what they've been able to build, but we know that the Super Contest is really, really difficult. I mean, to win in the NFL over 17 weeks, and I'm not talking win, you've got to have luck on your side too. It's very hard to go 4-1, 5-0, 3-2 at worst. I mean, the guys that took first this year, I think had 1, 2, and 3 weeks. And that is just really difficult to do. So I like what the Golden Nugget has done. 7 games is a little tough for me personally, but I think it's a good mix between NFL and college. So you focus on your strengths. If there's 1 or 2 NFL games you love, you can throw it in your ticket, or you don't have to. So I think they do a really good job over there. And I actually did have the winner, Rich Velez, this year, and he just had a monster season. So was really excited. Had my first winner in a contest. I've had guys place before, but never had a winner. So really excited for him. Great guy. And, you know, he beat out some really sharp names in the industry. Ralph Michaels from Wager Talk placed in the money as well. So always excited to, you know, have some people in the mix. And I think this year, because everybody's doing these early signups, they start March 1st, I wouldn't be surprised to see that Golden Nugget one double in size.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm definitely looking at that one. So that's huge. That's great. Congratulations on bringing on a winner to that. That's absolutely fantastic. Yeah, definitely had a great experience. So if you guys want to get in any of these awesome contests where you can strike it rich by winning, please visit proxy.kellyinvegas.com. Kelly, oh, man, is it too soon to talk about that brutal beating that you
That's
posted.
That's what I kind of really meant about a hangover, to be honest with you. Like, that was just really defeating. I didn't mean that I went out and got wasted. I meant that I was just, it took a lot of, I mean, I had to shoot Wager Talk videos yesterday, and Marco, the first thing he said was, Kelly, you have a smile on your face. I was like, I'm really good at faking it right now, because otherwise I'm just going to curl up in the ball in like a fetal position underneath the desk.
My goodness. So Kelly, for your listeners out there, she had a crazy parlay, but I loved it. It was perfect. She had Penn State beating Michigan. Michigan was kind of in a letdown spot after beating Wisconsin, so it was a perfect play there. Kelly also had Louisville beating Duke at some serious plus money, because Duke was in a letdown spot after Virginia. And what was the third one of that? Was the third leg of that? I think it was.
So it was LSU to beat Kentucky at Rupp Arena. And to be honest with you, Kentucky did not look great until the last few minutes. And there was a questionable goaltend there at the wire. So it was interesting to see that I actually got that one in. I really thought Penn State was going to be my loser, as you mentioned, letdown spot. I thought they would cover. But I even said on HQ, like, don't go crazy thinking that Penn State's going to beat Michigan. But they took Michigan wire to wire.
Oh, absolutely, they did. They're in a desperation spot. They've been losing a ton. Michigan coming off that Wisconsin game. It was a perfect spot for that. And then LSU, you had Kentucky, you know, probably thinking, LSU's pretty tough, but I'm looking at Tennessee this weekend. Well, boom.
Absolutely.
You know, even if that bucket didn't go in, they still could have lost that game, you know, and that's just, you know, the faultiness of the NCAA, you know. I think they're going to figure some stuff out here, especially in the NFL, how, you know, the Alliance Football League here has that eye in the sky. I really like that. I think they're going to improve, and you know, that'll make it better for sports bettors.
That's my goal for this weekend, is to actually watch one of those games. I did not watch a single Alliance football game last weekend, and I just was not necessarily skeptical, but not really sold on it yet. And I had, like I said, I was kind of just checked out of football, but everybody has kind of made such great comments about it that I'm like, okay, I'll watch this weekend.
You know, I haven't either, and I plan on doing that as well. So hopefully we won't be disappointed. I know the ratings looked really good, but they did that before when the XFL came out. So we'll see what happens there. Quick, going back to that parlay. I mean, it was like a $100 ticket, and it would have paid over $7,000. You have Louisville up by 23 points here. You know, I mean, you're thinking it's in the bag, obviously. And then Duke becomes Duke. The whistles start blowing once, you know, 7 minutes. Louisville's choking, which they've done already this year. Is there a point where you consider hedging something like that and maybe taking 10 times your bet?
Okay, so I left my house. I was going to the UNLV game with a couple of the guys from VSIN. And John Murray from the Westgate. And I said, okay, they were up, I believe, 23 when I left my house, or up 20, something like that. And I was more concerned with Penn State choking at that point. So at that point, I didn't have my computer, which, you can still bet from your phone, all these things that being said. Like I just mentioned, I was on the Rams. I don't keep a ton of money in my local app.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on the Rams. I immediately left from Vegas the next morning to Kansas for 5 days. Came home, worked a couple of days. I had not been back to a sportsbook to put more money in my app, first and foremost. I had the couple of local guys that I have the ability to bet through only allow $300 or $500 in-game. So my mind's on a lot of different things here. So one, sure, I didn't have a ton of money to be able to hedge a significant amount. Two, I don't have any offshores that, anyway, or any ones that offered Duke Moneyline.
Oh.
I didn't really get an opportunity to even think about hedging, because I was more concerned about Penn State. So once Penn State came through, I was sitting there with Sammy P from VSIN, and we were talking, and he was like, calm down, because it wasn't on the TV. And I was like trying to get it on my phone and refresh. The other two guys had went to the UNLV game. I was like, I got to stay right here. Like, I'm not leaving the seat. I don't care about the UNLV game. I'll be late. So I was like, okay, I'm not leaving the seat. Okay, Penn State up 4. I'm sweating. There's 15 seconds left. He's like, calm down. They're going to foul, whatever. You know, and you can't watch it. You're just updating an app.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, okay, great. Penn State gets in. Then Sam tells the bartender, hey, can you put the Duke game on? At this point in time, Louisville's up, I think, 14 or even only 10.
Mm.
I'm like, God, I don't want to watch this. Like, I see the writing on the wall. Sam's brother texts him, you know, some Duke fan BS, and I'm like, send him a picture of me flipping him off. Like, you know what I mean? Like, tell him to be quiet. Because Sam also has Louisville tied in with the Orlando Magic, both on the money line in a parlay. So he's cheering hard for Louisville, and you're absolutely right. I see the epic collapse coming. At this point in time, it was just like, here you are, you're going to ride with it. There, again, maybe I shouldn't have won LSU, but I also won LSU game, LSU second half, LSU money line. Penn State first half game, second half money line.
There you go.
I've got LSU, I've got Louisville first half, I've got Louisville game, I've got Louisville money line. I bet Louisville second half.
Right.
Plus, I got 8.5 in the second half, and anytime there's a second half in college basketball that's greater than the game line, that's where I'm putting my money.
Right.
It's just one of those little trends that I feel like last night it went 3-1. I'm going to do it every time. I'm looking at this going, okay. And you know, he's asking me, hey, are you going to hedge this or should I, looking at different stuff. And I'm like, at this point in time, we're going to let it ride. You know, Dave Koken was tweeting me and he was like, I think it's going to go to overtime. And obviously I would have taken overtime, but I think they would have lost in overtime. I mean, when they reversed that charge, and I couldn't even tell you because at this point I basically blacked out. Now, mind you, I wasn't drinking. I just mean blacked out, like, because I knew once they overturned that, I was like, that's it. Like, whatever the right call was, yes or no, I'm not saying the fix was in. I'm not calling any of that. When that happened, I knew. I was like, okay, this is a loser.
Right.
It just killed the little bit of anything that Louisville had left in their soul.
You know, and I thought I had it bad when I had my smaller money line, you know, seasoned money line pick on Louisville when I lost that. And then all of a sudden you tweet your 76-1 parlay that got blown by that. I'm telling you, I didn't feel nearly as bad about myself. I started feeling terrible about what happened to you. Complete honesty right there. But, you know, there you go. It's Duke. Maybe I would have ran up to somebody and say, please hedge this for me. Find me a Duke money line at +400.
And that was the other thing. I wasn't sitting in a sports book. There's a little local bar that my buddy owns right across from where UNLV basketball plays that we always go before the game. A, because it's free parking. B, because it's cheap booze and pizza. And you just walk right over. And so, you know, everybody acts like, because I live in Vegas, that I must live in a sports book. Like, I'm in a sports book enough. The last thing I want to do is be sitting there with a bunch of people cheering, probably to have Duke money line on some stupid parlay, you know, that against me. This is not something that entertains me very much. You know, like I said, I spent enough time there. So, no, to answer your question, you know, I used to have a saying back in the day when people were like, I can't believe you didn't hedge that. Listen, I didn't hedge my 85-1 ticket that I won in 2012. I'm not a big hedger, and I understand you can guarantee yourself money, but in the end of the day, I lost $100. Right. Like, yes, I was counting 7,600 in my mind. I really was, of course, as anybody would when you're up that significant of amount. But at the end of the day, I lost $100. And I look at it like this. I've done 6 or 7 radio shows. I made SportsCenter last night. Darren Ravel's talking about it. You know, the amount of Twitter followers and exposure I've gained from it, at some point in time, I'm not going to say it's a break even, but it's not a loss.
Absolutely, you know, and you can cover that with all the other bets, right? You know, I didn't want overtime. I was like, screw it. If this goes overtime, I'm losing my +8 to Louisville. You know, I was thinking, just finish him off. You know, that was going through my mind, of course, when I had no idea you had that ticket. So I totally get that. But you're right. That was one of the worst beats on a parlay that I've seen. I believe the exposure itself is going to pay for it. And, you know, so there is definitely some silver lining right there. Real quick, Kelly, let's talk about your series here, the docuseries Showtime filmed. It looks like that's going to be airing pretty soon. They filmed during the football season. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, it was really exciting. Got approached by some directors over the summer saying, hey, you know, sports betting's legal. We want to follow some people around. And my buddy Crack and I are on the show, and Crack and I talked about it and said, okay, let's give this a shot and see what comes about it. And followed us around all football season and ended with the Super Bowl. Didn't get the result I wanted in the Super Bowl. I was on the Rams. But that being said, it was a really fun series. We just got our first, I guess, commercial sent to us the other day, and I've seen a couple of clips here and there from the videos. You know, the producer's able to send me, hey, I think this is going to make the show, or this, or are you okay with that? Because I was really concerned you never know with reality TV. Now, he's like, no, this is a documentary. And I'm like, eh, it's still reality TV, right? You got to have a little bit of drama. You got to have a little bit of that kind of stuff. And so far, I'm really impressed with what a great job they've done. Again, I have no idea what's really going to make the final cut and all of that. But the couple of clips I've got to see when we were wrapping up for Super Bowl, it's like, hey, the first episode's already almost done. And I think it's kind of a character introduction. So hopefully my parents are not embarrassed by me and, you know, my old pictures in boy shorts and dancing around and having a good time.
Sure.
You know, in my jersey. And, you know, everybody's like, you know, kind of always been critical of those. So we'll see kind of how it gets portrayed. It comes out March 24th. And I'm really excited to be able to, again, see what makes the final cut, because they were with me so many times. I mean, I bet they spent 150 hours shooting with me for a 4-hour docuseries. Like, we'll see what actually makes the final cut. Hopefully my birthday party later in the night does not make it, because I have no recollection of that evening.
Well, I really hope it makes it then.
Exactly, right? I remember my birthday party, and I remember trying not to be on my phone, and I had the Cowboys to beat the Saints. They were 7.5-point dogs. I had Cowboys on the money line, and I remember someone was like, haven't you checked your phone? Like one of the producers. And I was like, no, I've been really trying to stay off of it. He goes, the Cowboys won. And I grabbed the server and I was like, we need bottles right now. Let's go. And it was game over from that. I barely remember anything after that. I remember being at the center bar at Caesars around 3 o'clock in the morning. And it was like, okay, this is way past my bedtime. I need to go home.
Oh my goodness. What a fun time though. And it's just perfect. Birthday present happens with the Cowboys hitting the money line. Awesome job there. We all know you're a Kansas State alumni. They've been rolling. They're in first place in the Big 12. How exciting. I was on them when they beat Kansas. Love that game. What are your thoughts on the Wildcats this year? Where do they stand?
Yeah, you know, I was at that Kansas game. That's the first time in my life that K-State has beat KU. I was supposed to go to the game in Allen Fieldhouse when I was in college, and I ended up getting stuck working. And so, you know, and I also don't think we had tickets anyway. I think we would have had to probably scalp tickets or something when we got to Lawrence. But my girlfriends went, and I was so mad at myself that I didn't make it. So, you know, this year, when after everything with last year and, you know, preseason, good lookout. I bought tickets back in November, booked flights, and said, I'm going to this game. I think K-State's going to beat KU. I did not think KU would be having this down of a year, though, especially right on the road. But yeah, K-State, you know, they've won 9 conference games straight. They did lose that fluky game in between there to A&M, which I kind of had a feeling they would. They avoided that flat spot at Baylor. Obviously, revenge game there at Texas. You know, we're now asking them to win a fourth straight, like, huge game. They're sitting on top of the Big 12 themselves. This is the first time they have a bullseye. Now, remember, they won in Hilton. And I didn't think that they would. This is when they were kind of having that really rough stretch without Stokes and Wade. And I believe they were, oh, good grief. I feel like they were like 9.5-point dogs or something in that Iowa State game. I did not touch them. I said, this is just very strange. Iowa State, as you know, plays really tough at home.
Oh, yeah.
And then now Iowa State, I gave them out as a 9.5-point favorite, even with the reverse line move. I knew better. But I was like, there's no way Iowa State is going to lose to TCU. Sure enough, they're off that loss to TCU. They have revenge against K-State. This is going to be interesting. KenPom says K-State -1. I know some other guys that say K-State -2. This is asking a lot. Like, K-State's got to be feeling really good about themselves right now. Like I said, sitting atop the Big 12 is something new to every team in the Big 12 that's not named Kansas. So I'm not going to bet Iowa State necessarily just yet. I'm curious to see what the line's going to be on Saturday. But I am proud of this K-State team. I've been very critical of Bruce Weber. And that's just because I did love Frank Martin so much. I met Frank at the K-State-Miami game. Man, that must have been 2012. I went to the game. I had a girlfriend that lived in Miami. Went down. We went to the game. K-State beat Miami as like a 13-point dog. That was the year that they had the chance to go to the national championship. And Frank and his wife were at this club in Miami. And, you know, I just basically was drunk and was like, Frank, I love you. You're my favorite. You know, and he was super nice to a crazy little K-State fan. And so was his wife. I'm surprised she wasn't like, get this girl off of our table. That being said, you know, that was fun. Like 7, 8 years ago. But I was very critical of Bruce, and I've been very hard on Bruce, and I was definitely very hard on John Curry. So I was happy to see him leave. Very happy with Gene Taylor, K-State's athletic director now. And we'll see what ends up happening. I really try to keep K-State at arm's length. My uncle laughed about something. He goes, you know, they're just going to break your heart again, when I was back home. And I go, oh, for sure. You know, I have some buddies that bet them at 50-1, 40-1 to win the whole thing. And I'm like, you guys need to slow your roll. This K-State team's playing well.
Yeah.
The Big 12 has some really good teams, but, you know, to ask them to beat a Kentucky team like they did last year, to ask them to maybe get matched up against the Duke team, I think this team's going to be like a 6 or a 7 seed, and I think they will win the Big 12, but I just, again, arm's length, okay, I'm going to take it game by game. If I can find an opportunity to bet against them, maybe take, if I can get a 3 with Iowa State, I may do so on Saturday.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I remember tweeting back and forth. Dean Wade was out, and you told me flat out they're nothing without Dean Wade, and that was when they were on their bad streak. But I think that they're a little bit undervalued, and they might still be undervalued because of that. You know, Iowa State's visiting Manhattan. How did they lose to TCU? I don't know. That was a lot of best bets out there, and they literally lost flat out. And they're supposed to have one of the best home court advantages up in Iowa State.
They absolutely do. I've been there, and it is, I mean, what else are you going to do when it's minus 10 and Ames, Iowa? I mean, totally. You're going to go get drunk and you're going to go to the basketball game.
Exactly. You know, KenPom's even got Iowa State the 15th best team and K-State the 27th, right? But I don't think that factors in what they really are with Dean Wade. You know, K-State's offense only ranks 115th on KenPom nationally. And you know, I think they're a lot better than that. I think the best thing about the handicap in this is to look at the conference performances, right? Because that's, you know, Wade came back shortly after conference play started. K-State's got the 5th best offense in the Big 12 and the 2nd best defense. The Cyclones have the 3rd best in both categories. So that tells me they're pretty even. I think these teams are pretty close. Both have faced pretty similar schedules. The key for me here is for the Wildcats is where are they going to stop Mariel Shayok again, right? And, you know, he's Iowa State's best player. They kept him off double digits that last game. And if they can keep him low, under 15 points here, I like the fact that K-State's in first. I think they can embrace that. It's not like Kansas is in first and they can kind of let down. I think that motivates them to not let down. And I love the fact that K-State's 8-1 against the spread their last 9 games. I am with you here. I have the line at 2. K-State favored by 2, but I like this up to 4.5, personally. I got the over-under at 129, but I am going to be a K-State. I'm going to have a ticket on them if it's below 5 points.
Yeah, you know what I ended up doing the other day, as I had K-State plus 3 against Texas, and the line should have been 4.5 or 5, to be honest with you, based on everybody's power rating. But I knew that revenge after just getting smoked in Manhattan by 20 points that this team was going to come to play.
Right.
And I think what we really saw was also a gross overreaction on the total. This total's going to probably be a little bit higher. I think the sportsbooks are now going to adjust back. But I think it closed at like 121.5, 122. And so when they scored, I believe it was like 74 or 78 in the first half, I turned to the guys and I said, I'm hammering the second half. I'm like, you haven't even watched the game. I'm like, the line is not 22 points off. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, second half went flying under. So look at definitely totals in regards to Kansas State. As you mentioned, their defense really good, and you're not going to see them give up a ton of points in 2 halves. Maybe 1 half, but definitely not 2. And unless Dean Wade is playing out of his mind from the 3-point line, I just don't see this game kind of going over. This is going to be 2 really solid defenses, and I wouldn't be surprised to see this game literally like 123, 124, and it land 120.
That's fantastic, and a fantastic way of sports betting. If ever the total is way off at halftime, go the opposite way. don't go with the trend because that's how it's supposed to be. And so everyone's going to be thinking, you know, keep going the way the momentum is, go against the momentum. They're fantastic, Kelly. You know, some of the best sports bettors play it like that. So that's awesome. No, completely agree. I think K-State also controls the tempo of this game. Let's move into another Big 12 game here. Oklahoma is going to TCU. I got TCU laying about 4 points. I got the total around 142. Do you have any thoughts on this game?
You know, here's a TCU team that, man, I just can't quite figure them out. I think Jamie Dixon's done a good job. I think they have, as you mentioned, a pretty good offense and a pretty good defense. But there have been some absolute stinkers they've laid. And then they played some really good games. You know, they took Kansas to the wire, took Kansas into overtime. I couldn't believe they were laying points in that game. And everybody said it. Normally, I would say it's a trap game, take TCU. And I was like, I have to take KU. KU has hit rock bottom here. I have to take them.
Right.
And sure enough, they won in overtime. I actually would have preferred them to lose. Somebody tweeted me about TCU. I go, I hope they win by one. Like, you know, that would be my best case scenario. But yeah, you know, they barely beat Oklahoma State. And then, you know, off that terrible loss to Baylor, they barely beat Oklahoma State at home of all places. And then they go on the road as double-digit underdogs, and they beat Iowa State, come back home, can't beat KU. So this is going to be an interesting game with Oklahoma. I think it's probably going to come out around 3, if I had to guess. And speaking of not being able to figure out Oklahoma, they've lost 5 straight. I'm going, what in the world is going on with Lon Kruger? I have a ton of respect for him. Obviously, he was out here at UNLV. He was at K-State in the 80s. Really great guy. But this Oklahoma team just has been interesting, to say the least.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I do think they'll probably go on the road and lose at TCU, unless TCU doesn't have much left in the tank after that Kansas game. If you're giving me probably 4.5 or more, I'll probably be on Oklahoma. But anything other than that, I'm probably just going to stay away because, again, this TCU team, I have yet to be able to figure out.
No, I can't. Both teams are weird. Just like you said, the Sooners have been an against the spread darling, really. 16-6-3. Flying under the radar, yet still losing, you know. And a lot of that is because, you know, of what happened last year. Everyone was betting against them. And so they lost a lot of value when they had that you know, when they had their star player, you know, people lost them and started fading them. The line adjusted and, you know, they become a great against the spread team. TCU hasn't been too shabby either. I was shocked they only beat Oklahoma State by 2 points. I had a TCU ticket week ago or whatever that was, and they ended up, they're up by like 12, 14 points, and they just almost choked the game completely away. You know, so TCU has been kind of weird themselves. Yeah. The Sooners lost the last 5 games in a row. That's crazy. You know, these teams met earlier, Oklahoma. In Oklahoma, the Sooners won 76-74. You know, can TCU get some home court revenge here, right? So the Sooners, what I don't like about the side, if I was going to bet TCU, the Sooners are 3-0-2 as an away underdog, right? So right there, you know, you're talking 4, 4.5. I'm not sure if I'm going to be a player at that. But a glaring thing to me is that both TCU and Oklahoma play better when they pick up the pace, okay? Now, on KenPom, they average about, which everyone uses, they average about 69 plays per game, which looks like they're pretty average, but I think that the fact that the Big 12 plays so slow, it brought that down. They don't want to play 69 plays. They want to play 72, 73. You know, you got teams like Texas Tech. You got slow teams like Baylor, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Texas. You know, these teams have already played all them, bringing that number down a bit. So the reality is I think both teams are going to play faster, you know, because it's like when they played West Virginia this year.
That's exactly what I just pulled up on KenPom. I was going to bring that up when they both played West Virginia.
Right, in West Virginia.
That's a really good point.
Exactly. And West Virginia is the only other team that plays at that, you know, a little bit higher pace in the Big 12 or one of the few, right? So because of this, I'm going to play the over. Especially if it comes out at what KenPom says at 142. I actually like this. I like it a lot up to 146. So that's my play.
I do not hate that at all. That's probably a better choice than playing the side here.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see where that comes out. But if other people are thinking like us, we might have to jump on that baby early. Well, let's move into another Big 12 game. West Virginia versus Kansas. You know, Kansas is going to be laying about 17 points. Over-unders at 148, and I'll start here. You know, I don't know what could be worse than being West Virginia right now. Extremely disappointing season. But maybe if you're Kansas, who had top four aspirations, you know, losing their big center, losing a couple other guys, and now they're just barely top 16, you know, is that more of a disappointment than West Virginia? You know, you could argue it either way. But this game's a really good spot for Kansas, I think, to get some revenge off of a really bad loss against a very bad team. You know, West Virginia did beat them at home. Unfortunately, the spread's going to be factoring in the revenge spot. But West Virginia, they rank 98th in offensive efficiency. They rank 140th on defense. I mean, these numbers are like group of five, smaller conference type numbers, right? The Mountaineers rank dead last in almost every single category in conference play. Dead last. Kansas, on the other hand, is at least still in the mix in the Big 12 with four losses. And they're going to the tournament, right? They're going to the tournament no matter what happens. The biggest
thing... Yeah, I don't see them not going to the tournament. You're correct.
They'd have to lose every game, I think, with some of their big
wins. Pretty much. And then have a horrible showing in the Big 12 tournament.
Absolutely. I'm not sure if everyone knows, but West Virginia just lost two key starters. Essa Ahmad and Wesley Harris for the rest of the season for disciplinary reasons. These are two starters here. So add that to what's been going on.
Yeah, I missed that. I hadn't seen that in the news yet. And I probably would have seen it before betting this Kansas game. But, you know, it's interesting because if anybody's never been to Allen Fieldhouse, we were just talking about how tough it is to play in Hilton. It's really tough to play in Allen Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. It really is. And you know, I'm going to get some grief for this. I do not care what anybody says. I have never seen worse officiating in my life than in Allen Fieldhouse. I don't care who's playing there. Every game I ever watch on TV, there is a ton of home cooking for KU in Allen Fieldhouse every single time. It doesn't matter who's officiating. It just seems like the calls seem to go their way. I played them against Oklahoma State and said, there's no way they're coming off that loss from K-State and they're going to throttle Oklahoma State. And they started off really slow. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I think it's going to be that same outcome here with West Virginia. I think the line is going to be sky high, but I wouldn't be surprised to see KU just absolutely thump this team.
Absolutely. And I don't know if you've ever been to Cameron Indoor Arena, but that would be somebody saying that maybe Duke's got the home cooking going for them. There's a lot of...
I have not, but I've watched enough Duke games that I definitely thought they got... After reversing that charge call, I'm going, okay, does the ACC really need Duke in it that bad? I guess they do.
I can go on a tangent right now. All right, I can go on a tangent for some of these refs. And I specialize in the Big Ten, and I've seen some really poor refereeing. And of course, the networks are always going to say, oh, the refs are great. But we know the truth here. But either way, we don't care. The important thing is I agree with what you said here. I know that Kansas has been, you know, a huge at home, right? But I don't think this line's even going to make up for what they're going to do to West Virginia. Sometimes when the younger kids will step up after the suspension, but the fact that, you know, Kansas is coming off of that, I think they're just going to be extra motivated for revenge against West Virginia. I think they're going to put up enough points. I actually like Kansas all the way up to 21 points. I think they're going to come out around 17. Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I think they'd come out. I thought around 16, 17 as well. And, you know, they're going to throw some other factors in there and they're going to get fed up very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when people start looking at the news of West Virginia's disciplinary suspensions. So I'm excited to do that. I'm not afraid to lay big chalk if the spot is right. And I think Kansas needs a big win. They need some revenge. The overtime game was too long ago. It's not going to affect them. This is where I'm actually going to be laying the chalk. Kansas minus 17 points here. Well, let's move on here. What do we have left? I think it's just Tennessee versus Kentucky here. Kentucky is going to be laying, I have it about 3 points. I think they're going to be laying about 3 points at home. I think the total is going to be at 146. Have you got a chance to look at this game yet?
So I've looked at it a little bit. We talked about it yesterday on Wager Talk, so I had to get it previewed a little bit. And I think this is going to be a really interesting dynamic because you have Tennessee with a giant target on their back. You have Kentucky with a chip on their shoulder after losing for the first time ever under Coach Kyle to LSU in Lexington. And it is going to be really interesting. You have to give Kentucky 3.5, 4 points for a home court. You got to give them a little bit for a chip on their shoulder. I think Rick Barnes has done a really good job with this Tennessee team. No doubt about it. But this is just a really interesting matchup here. And I don't know really, truly what to make of it. This is two teams that I think are both really great. Kentucky coming into their own. As you know, Coach Cal teams, because they are so young every single year, they take a little time to learn how to play as a cohesive unit. And Tennessee just kind of, I feel like, and maybe guys that study college basketball back in August, I don't have time to focus on it until after bowl season. Tennessee really kind of took me by storm. I did not think they were going to be this good. And sure enough, I don't think anybody thought they were going to be a top three team. That's for sure. But it's interesting to see that KenPom has it at 2. Because if you just blindly asked me, what would I make this line? I would have said Kentucky -4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so whenever there's something like that has me circled, it has me going, what am I missing here? And it probably means I should be on the dog. So I haven't made an official play. Obviously, there's no line out yet. But if it's like 1 or 2, I may be on the Volunteers. And that's just because I really think that people are going to expect a big bounce back game from Kentucky, and they may lose 2 in a row.
I get that. Absolutely. If you want the Vols, maybe you wait a little bit here. I thought that when I started handicapping out, I was already, you know, circling that I'm going to be betting Tennessee. But now, once I started capping it, I was like, wait a minute. I kind of put the brakes on a little bit because I'd need to see the line first. This game set up really well for Kentucky coming off that tough last second loss, right? Very controversial non-call for offensive goaltending on LSU for some god-awful reason. That's not reviewable. And I don't understand how they just can't get that right. Instead, they stop the game for 5 minutes for stuff that's that wouldn't even be called on a playground, you know, with fifth graders, literally. You know, the extra day of rest for Kentucky is also another good spot for them. You know, Tennessee just took care of business against South Carolina, didn't cover, but, you know, they're looking to this game. Even with the supreme motivation, you know, this is Kentucky's toughest opponent probably since Duke. I think there may not be a better team in the paint than the Wildcats. Top 3 in the nation in rebounding, right? They're top 18 in offense, top 9 in defense. But they kind of lack 3 things that benefits Tennessee a little bit. I think Kentucky doesn't defend the 3 that well. They only rank 234th in the nation on KenPom defending the 3. While Tennessee shoots the 3, second best in the SEC, the Wildcats tend to turn the ball over a little bit, ranking 159th in turnover percentage, while the Vols rank 26th. And most importantly, Tennessee's got the experience. They got the upperclassmen, like Admiral Schofield, right? Grant Williams, Jordan Bone. You know, I mean, these guys have been in these big spots before. They've been in the tournament last year. You know, there's some guys playing for Kentucky that haven't. You know, some starters here. Tennessee's also second in field goal percentage in the nation, 51.3% field goal percentage, and 50.8% on the road. That's crazy high. Tennessee somehow scores more points on the road. You know, they're statistically better on the road, averaging 87 points per game, while Kentucky is, as usual, better at home in defense, allowing 61 points per game. The thing that makes me nervous about Tennessee, right? I just made a huge argument for Tennessee, is that they haven't faced a top 30 team since they beat Gonzaga on December 9th. Since December 9th, Tennessee has not faced a top 30 team. And I don't mean just the AP. I mean top 30 on KenPom, Bartorvik, whatever Vegas power rankings you want to look up. Kentucky has faced 7 top 30 teams, and they only lost to LSU, you know? So the crazy thing to me, Tennessee allows 63 points per game at home, but they allow 77 points on the road. That's a ton. The Cats are 7-7 against the spread at home, while the Vols are an amazing 5-1 against the spread on the road. So I think the only way I can look at this game, you know, unless the spread, like you said, gets 4.5, 5 points, is the over. you know, if the over is less than 148, and I know Kentucky's got the great
defense. I actually like that. That's a really, you make a good point there.
Thank you. Thank you. And I think it's just because you look at two things. What does Tennessee allow on the road? What do they score on the road? It's astronomical. They're going to play fast. There are going to be a lot of fouls at the end of this game. There's going to be teams in the double bonus. If you really want to bet this game, I like over 146 because that's what KenPom has. I probably like it up to 148, 149.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That's a really good point. And especially if you do think it's going to be a close game, let's say it comes out 1.5-2, and you think it's going to be a close game, instead of betting either side, you're right. Bet that there's going to be a ton of fouls at the end. Bet that there's going to be an absolute dogfight offensively.
Yeah, yeah. When it comes to these two high-powered teams, you know the whistles will be blowing. I love the over here, but I can't wait to watch this game because this is going to be 100% the best game of the weekend.
Oh, for sure. I agree with you 100%. That's exactly what I said yesterday on Wager Talk. I said I don't know if I'll end up being involved in this game, but it will be one of the games that I'm really excited to watch.
Well, I took up enough of your time, Kelly. We went a little bit over. Thank you so much for being patient with us. As always, have a fantastic weekend. Best of luck in all your bets.
Awesome. Thank you.
So before we go, in honor of Kelly's awesome Moneyline dog parlay, I've decided that I'm going to give one out as well. Now, remember, don't try this at home, folks. But I'm going to play this Eastern Michigan, Pittsburgh, Rutgers, and Northwestern this weekend. Eastern Michigan plays Kent State. Kent State is on only one day of rest. Pittsburgh is playing a very injured Virginia Tech team, and they are dying for a win. Rutgers is playing an Iowa team. Iowa is not good on the road, or at least not as good. Rutgers has improved. And Northwestern is playing an injured Nebraska team. Nebraska just won a game. Northwestern is dying for a win as well. So most likely going to be on those sides. But if you want an ugly money line parlay, that is one we are going to be playing. All right. Well, that was the wonderful Kelly Stewart. You can tweet her at Kelly in Vegas. Everyone have a fantastic weekend. Best of luck on all of your plays, and go get some winners.